What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia TV. We're coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona. You get us at ApologiaRadio.com. I'm Jeff Durbin. They call me the Ninja. That's Luke the Bear.
What up?
And that's Joy the Girl right there.
Is that whose phone is that?
Is that my phone?
Who did the radio? Who did it? Oh, someone over there. It's the crew.
It's the producer again, isn't it?
Is it? It's the crew. Did the television sin.
Marcus' phone is always going off.
Just did the television sin. Who was that? Was it Carmen? No, was it Marcus?
It was Marcus.
The director. Wait a minute. Was it Marcus the official director of Apologia TV or the director of Apologia Studios?
Carmen's the director.
But Carmen, I'm sorry, Carmen.
Carmen's the director.
I apologize.
Apologia TV.
That's right. All right, so we're here today. I said Joy the Girl, right? Joy the Girl,
yes.
Luke the Bear, I'm Jeff. Okay, so we have a very special guest in the studio right now. We had Ben on. What did we do with Ben?
We did an interview.
We did the interview at
an essay.
In his digs. In his place, in his office. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So Benjamin Merkel, that's how the full name, Benjamin R. Merkel, Dr. Benjamin R. Merkel. This man has a lot of degrees.
Yeah.
He's got a big, big brain
uh-huh.
for Jesus. Big brain for Jesus. Okay. he has a doctorate in Oriental Studies from Oxford University. See, if you say like a doctorate in Oriental Studies, that's like, that's pretty good. And then
right.
it's Oxford. Oxford.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Uh-huh. What's better, Oxford or Cambridge?
That's called the other place.
The other place,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I know. They have the war. It's like a 1,000-year war. Okay. He has degrees in Jewish studies from Oxford. You have another one from Oxford, Ben. Goodness. Okay. He has another degree in English literature, Master of Arts from the University of Idaho, 2005. Additional graduate studies in theology from Gray Friars Hall, a BS in education, secondary education, chemistry, and chemistry. And so Benjamin Merkel, he is the president of a fellow of theology at New St. Andrews College. Ben, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's it like to have such a big brain?
I wouldn't know.
So this is really, I mean, just talk for a moment about yourself and the degrees you have. BS in education, secondary education, chemistry. So you have chemistry, education, and you go into Jewish studies, literature, Oriental studies. How did you get to
that? Yeah, so when I first was going to U of I, it wasn't too long before into my career at U of I that I really felt like I wanted to go into ministry. And every pastor I knew was a teacher. So I just wanted an education degree because I thought I'd be a teacher. And literally, I know this will sound weird, but chemistry was the class that was most kicking my butt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I was learning at that time was just the importance of just working hard. And so I just kept taking chemistry classes until I felt like I was kicking its butt. And by the time I got to that point, which took a long time, I had a chemistry degree. And so that was my degree, but I didn't ever do any chemistry. I went pretty much straight from graduating into ministry, doing evangelism to the U of I.
Mm-hmm.
And then during that time, this is my wife likes to tell this story. I actually really wanted to use the weight room at the University of Idaho. And I found out the easiest way to use the weight room was to be taking a class, to be a student. And so I was going to take, I forget which class it was, but I was very much a math science guy. I thought liberal arts was for just people who smoke pot all day. And let's be honest, it was pretty true in that particular school. And so I started to sign up for a class, and another guy I knew said, don't take that class. Take this English lit class with me, and we'll sit at the back and make fun of the English majors. And I thought, that sounds like a noble cause. And so I took this class on Chaucer, and it actually just totally transformed my whole take on liberal arts, primarily seeing that my passion for evangelism actually could go so much larger because I suddenly realized the gospel is so much larger.
Mm.
And the liberal arts really brought that out.
Okay.
So I ended up doing a master's in English Lit. Then I decided if I'm going to teach, I needed to get the doctorate. And that's when I applied. First to Oxford, I did a 1-year master's in Jewish studies in order to open me up to do the doctorate.
Okay.
And then I did the doctorate and returned to teach.
What's that look like? The Jewish studies, Oriental studies. What is that field exactly?
Well, it's a combination of, I mean, I liked it because of the Hebrew language. Mm-hmm. I wanted to keep working on my Hebrew, but it was kind of a mix of that with rabbinic studies. Mm-hmm. And some of it could go, not much of it is like true Old Testament studies. You're more looking at rabbinic interpretation of Old Testament,
yeah.
which is really useful for helping to understand the context of what was going on in the first century up through the patristic ages. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that I thought was really interesting was my dissertation was actually on at the Reformation, because you have from, you know, about 400 AD to 1500 AD, mm-hmm. The church is reading the Bible almost entirely in Latin. And then at the Reformation, they want to go back and recover the Hebrew language. But in order to do that, you literally had to go find a rabbi to teach you Hebrew.
Mm. Right.
And so during the Reformation, there's this interesting moment where the reformers are actually reading a bunch of rabbinical works. So that was my focus during my dissertation, was how did the recovery of Hebrew influence what the reformers were doing?
That's powerful. Well, shalom, Ben. Shalom.
Back at you.
So New St. Andrew's College, we got about 2 minutes left here. What do you do for New St. Andrew's College?
Currently, I'm the president of the college.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I know when we went and visited, something that I thought was really cool was the project. He's like, oh, here's some works in Latin that have never been translated into English, and this is our fun project. We're translating these works into English.
You like how when Luke tries to make you, he wants to compliment you by making you very, very, just show how intelligent you really are. And when he does it, he always does this thing.
I know.
Luke will say,
it's from the heart.
It is. Yeah, exactly. It's presenting from the heart. Okay.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Look at my little thing. Yeah. Okay.
So what kind of stuff do you do as president of New St. Andrews?
A lot of speaking to schools, churches, bringing awareness for what we're doing, and then a lot of admin stuff back home. But right now I'm traveling to talk about the school.
Okay. So what I want to do on this episode, and it's in line with what we talked about in Moscow, in your office, lots of delicious books, those sorts of things.
And scotch.
And yes, that's right. So I wanted to talk about, and as we come into the next segment, I want to talk about education, Christian education in particular, why that's so important. And I know this, for some people, this may seem kind of redundant listening to our show, but I want you to fill out why it's important for us as Christians to develop a rigorous biblical worldview, to care about these sorts of things. I mean, I'm teasing when I talk about all these degrees, but actually is, I think, something that we should be engaging in, this kind of study of the world and history and knowing the acts of God's providence in history, knowing what he's done in history. And I think as Christians, we have slipped off in terms of where we used to be in our history and culture, being sort of like the big brains, like the people mm-hmm. who knew a lot. Like if you went to some of these places in the early colonies, it was the pastor who was the most well-read, studied, intelligent man in the community, and people went to him to get training and education. And the church was educating the community mm-hmm. in many respects. So we're going to talk about that when we get back more with Dr. Ben Merkel right here on Apologia TV, apologiaradio.com. Welcome back to Apologia TV. Again, you guys can get us at apologiaradio.com. Don't forget to go there, guys. When you do, you see, you get to listen to over 200 episodes that we've had over the course of our history on a host of different subjects with all kinds of really, really amazing scholars, theologians, scientists, Christian scientists, not the cult one, the real one, okay? And you can sign up for All Access, and when you do, you get all the television shows, all the after shows, and you get to be a part of Apologia Academy, where you guys get training in the biblical worldview, Christian apologetics, and history, those sorts of things. Yes, he did. Yeah, which one was it again?
I don't know.
I did some on the Trinity.
That's right, the Trinity, yeah. That's
Have we put
right.
those ones out yet? Anybody?
Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, okay, good. So, yeah, you could listen to Dr. Merkel on the Trinity. It's amazing. So, apologiaradio.com is where you go. All right, Dr. Merkel, let's talk about the need for a rigorous commitment to and a rigorous Christian worldview. Why is it important for us as Christians to be educated in a thoroughly biblical worldview?
Yeah, well, look at it this way. Education, I think that in America, actually in the world, but especially in America, we've lost an understanding of what education is about and what education is for. So what has largely happened is that we've come to equate education with certification for a job. So it's basically acquiring whatever skills you need to perform a particular job. But the thing is, it's pretty easy to see through that. I mean, as soon as you've graduated and you show up at a job, you realize that like 95% of the stuff you did in school really had very little to do with the job that you're yeah. performing. And that most jobs out there, once you show up, you realize that the bulk of the actual training happens on the job. Mm-hmm. that the college period wasn't about giving you the skills you need for the job. It was more about kind of just passing, like clearing a certain hurdle, or fulfilling certain, you know, tasks to prove that you're worthy of entering the workforce.
Yeah.
But it's we think that education is about training for a job, and actually I don't think that's what it's there for. I think it's actually something far more profound. So there's education as a job, then there's education, as the paideia of God, as enculturation and what kind of person you want to be. So a lot of people, you know, you get high school seniors who are, you know, they're 18 years old and they're trying to pick their college, and they think that the question they have to answer is, what do I want to be when I grow up? And like, how many of us at 18 knew that, that right here, this is what you were going to be doing and this is what you needed to be training for?
Right.
I mean, I got a degree in chemistry. So how is that helping?
Right. So, little tear.
Yeah. Well, and if that's what it's about, it really is a waste of time for most of us. But if you think about it, just rewind a little bit, just in terms of college, set aside whether you were getting the skills you need for this job, and just ask the question, from 18 to 22, how formative were those years for you, particularly with regard to your Christian faith? Mm. Like during those years, what happened in terms of your understanding of what kind of man or woman you're going to be, what it's going to look like for you to serve Christ, what your family is going to look like? How much of that was established, and how much of that is kind of more profound than just the particular skills that you've acquired? Mm. And so I would say we need to be asking the question, instead of asking, what job do I want, or what do I want to be when I grow up? I think we should be asking, what kind of person do I want to be? What character, what qualities, what habits do I want to be inculcating? What people do I want to be around and be shaped by their influence? That's what an education is about. And if we think of it that way, then all of a sudden it really reorients your priorities in how you pick your, what educational track you're on and what you're trying to get out of it.
I guess I'll tell my story real quick.
Okay.
It kind of ties in. So we went to Sabbath dinner this past Saturday. Actually, we were in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And we felt very not educated. It was funny. I was like, I wonder what the Merkels talk about at dinner. You guys were like, remember the people in England, and there was like this person, and then they died, and then their bones, and then there's this other person, and you guys were like, oh yeah, yeah, and we're like, having a clue.
Yeah.
And then
they have all these inside history jokes. Remember that guy in history?
Right, yeah. Like,
remember the bones?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. And then you talked about the nether wallops.
Nether wallops.
And that rank went home, didn't it?
Yes.
I still want to see a picture of the nether wallop.
Yeah, that's always like high and lofty, amazing things. And then like, and there's these people called the nether wallops. And I was like, ooh, the nether wallops. It doesn't sound amazing, right? Like, it's a good story name. Like, those are like the
right.
Nether wallops.
It sounds like a...
They have perfectly round heads.
Perfectly round heads. That's what the nether wallop clan is.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my...
That's a story. Okay, story time. Okay,
well, I have a question
for
you. Yes.
So we live in just the internet, based off of the internet. We have a lot of opportunities for self-education, mm-hmm. and kind of like almost to create like our own unattached apprenticeship through YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think that fits? Like, what is the benefit of that? How does that fit into like a formal education?
Yeah, I mean, the way online education has come in, it really disrupts everything. And I think in ways that are really helpful, because one of the things it does is it shows you, if I just am trying to learn like a computer program, or if I'm just trying to learn how to do a spreadsheet, man, I can do that online. That
right.
These are skills that you can acquire pretty easily. But if you want to be discipled into something much larger and richer, and discipled in a much larger worldview, then that involves sitting down at the dinner table with people. It involves seeing what their kids are like. It involves worshiping with them on Sunday morning. It involves a much more face-to-face kind of discipleship. And that's why I think that it's helpful to kind of distinguish, am I just trying to get particular career skills, or am I trying to become a certain kind of man or woman in Christ? And one is much more incarnational. I think you really need to be there, and you need to be amongst one another. But another is something that, of course, you can get online. And there are other forms, like this right here. We're doing distance education right now. People are watching this at a distance and learning something from it. And I think it's really beneficial and helpful. But I think you just need to understand the limits of each medium.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah, you're not going to get your PhD from watching YouTube videos. Well, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
And so if you want that kind of information, if you want that level of education, then you're going to have to put in more time and more discipleship.
Yeah. And having somebody, I remember just one vivid moment when I was doing a Hebrew class in Oxford and the prof says something and I said something that kind of slightly countered it a little bit. And then I felt like, oh, I just kind of contradict him. I shouldn't have done that. And I remember him just turning square to me and going, no, come on. Mm-hmm. And like pulling me, like, I want you to argue with me. And I remember that was just such a, it was an important moment for me to realize education is intense and we ought to be ready to argue face to face with each other. And that you don't get that kind of thing through a book or through a blog usually.
Right.
I think that's a good point because there's the element, and I spoke about this at the conference in terms of, Christians that want to affect so many different parts of our world, but just feel like they're inadequate, they're not equipped in many ways. I said there's so many ways today that we just don't have any excuses. The, mm-hmm. the information that's available at our fingertips for free
mm-hmm.
Is astonishing, and we just don't have any excuses. But I didn't mean in that personally that there's not the need for be in a community where you are trained in a rigorous way, you're challenged, you're discipled. You know, a good example is, being in Moscow this last weekend at the conference, I'm always refreshed coming back from Moscow because I get inspired by what I see there. I get inspired to see the results of a lot of, diligent and faithful ministry and labor in a town that is in many ways transformed and is transforming the culture of that town.
Right.
You know, you look on the street and down Main Street, you see New St. Andrews College, you see businesses owned all on that street by members of Christ Church, and you get into the community and you see this, it infects you, right? Mm-hmm. And it challenges you and changes you, and it does disciple you being mm-hmm. among the people. And so that's, I think, one of the important things about New St. Andrews College that I think is worth going for is just being in that town and in that community mm-hmm. around those people. Yeah. It shapes you.
Well, every student that we interview will say, what's the most important thing about NSA? They'll always say, well, it was the community.
Right.
It was, that's what did it. And I would say, I really think online stuff is hugely important. So when I did my doctorate and I wrote my dissertation, it was really expensive to live in England. And so we moved back home and I wrote my doctorate from the upstairs of Doug's garage using the internet and Google Books.
Hang on one second. Awesome. That's amazing. By the way, Ben is married to Doug Wilson's daughter, one of his daughters. And so, interesting information. Be right back, guys. Apologia TV. And we're back. Dr. Ben Merkel, president of NSA, not.gov.
I was in a.
That was the actual website, NSA.gov.
Not.gov. I was in.
That would be awesome.
I was in Washington D.C. like a few weeks ago, and I was wearing around my baseball hat that has NSA on the front. After all, I realized people are looking at me like this doesn't work. Like if you're from the NSA, you're not supposed to wear it on your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Marcus wouldn't like you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of people are giving you dirty looks.
I feel like anytime we mention NSA, we always have to specify that we're not.
It's not .gov.
Yeah. Right. We're not talking about the government.
NSA, not .gov.com. That's awesome. All right, Luke.
Okay. So, kind of a twofold question. So we hear a lot, which I think is probably a true statement, that a lot of people are better off like not even going to college anymore. They're better off like going to a trade school or starting their own business because you go to school for 4+ years and you come away with $30,000 in debt and you're working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Well, and you've learned a bunch of stuff that you may not need.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one, I'd like to get your take on that. And two, as president of a university, how do you combat that? Why should someone come to NSA?
Yeah, how is my history of feminist studies going to help me in the future, Ben? I need to know.
Yeah. Well, I would say, all of those concerns, I think are, I would echo them and I would turn the volume up. I think that there's a really, we think about college wrong, and you hit two things there that I think are really important. One is, One is the financial side. It's out of control. I mean, it's ridiculous what you're actually paying for when you go to school and you graduate with all these loans that now you're not employable because you got such a debt load. So I think that whole side is a racket. And that's one of the reasons why NSA, we really work to keep our tuition as affordable as possible. Like a typical private liberal arts college annual tuition is around 30,000 something, and we're at 12. So, and we do that without taking any federal money because we don't want our hands tied by any of the federal strings. And so we really work to do that. And what makes it possible is when it comes down to the actual work of education, you find that the moment of education is actually a very affordable moment. What gets expensive is when you've got the football team you have to support, the rock climbing wall, and the Office of Diversity, and all of those things. That once you have to carry all of that, the numbers go way up, and it's just radically inflated prices. And so so there's the whole numbers game. And then the other question is just what is a college education for? Because if you think in terms of its career certification, then the name of your degree needs to match the name of the job you want.
Right.
You want to be a you know, a pharmacist, you need a pharmacist degree. You want to be a nurse, you need a nurse degree. And so then all of a sudden you get like an English degree. Well, I mean, you get an English degree, what, to teach English or to speak English? I mean, we all do that already. And so all you can do is maybe teach English with that, it seems like. But that's because we're thinking of the degree as career certification. But if you change it and say, no, I want something that's going to shape me and make me a particular kind of person, then that actually frees you up a little bit to say, no, it's not so much that I need a thing that's going to match my career. 'Cause I don't even know what my career is going to be. It's I need the venues and the avenues that are going to best test me and test my mind and get me prepared to be the kind of man that can serve Christ to the best. And then that changes quite a bit the sort of degree you're looking for. And you'll find, like with liberal arts degrees, it's true that I think liberal arts graduates tend to, as soon as they graduate, they have lower paying jobs. But if you look, there's a lot of statistics right now to show that you go 10 years in and 15 years in, they tend to actually have climbed to the top because it's more skills of leadership, communication, critical thinking, that sort of thing.
Interesting.
So one of the things that impresses me so much about New St. Andrews is the commitment to do what everybody is doing to the glory of God, to do it well, to be great at it, right? Not just to do something, but to do it great. And I've used the word rigorous a lot because that's what the word that comes to mind when I think about just that culture and community. So I want to ask you about that, like something circling around that. Why, well, I should maybe better ask this way. How does the Christian worldview offer a foundation to think that way, to think as broadly as you are and as long-term as you are? I mean, we seem to be so short-sighted as in the evangelical West today, but we're not thinking about affecting every area of life and doing things to the glory of God and doing it the best and all those things. You know, so how does the Christian worldview provide that for us?
Well, an image comes to mind that this is one that I'm stealing from Doug from years ago. I remember he was teaching on apologetics, and he was talking about the way when Christians try to transition to the gospel with somebody, they oftentimes will have like these really awkward, you know, really forced segues to try to flip this conversation into a gospel conversation. And he was saying how the thing is, what you want to do is live your life where if your life was like the living room in your head and your thoughts on everything, that was your furniture arranged. Okay. And he said, what you want to do is you want to study the world and study scripture, and you go back and forth between the two such that you can attach a verse to everything you're thinking so that you can explain everything from a biblical perspective. And when you do that, what happens is you arrange the furniture in your mind according to scripture. And then when you've done that, what happens is you can invite anybody in and say, sit wherever you want, because wherever you sit, we're going to talk gospel because it's all arranged. There's a verse that's just right naturally there. Then it's not these forced segues because you actually have a biblically informed opinion on that subject. And that's what the liberal arts have always been. Now they've kind of been destroyed by secularism, but when it was Christian liberal arts, it was this rigorous examination of the whole world in light of scripture.
Yeah. Just speaking of four segues,
yeah.
Do you think Doug, like, does he sit just in a chair in a quiet room all day just doing this? Thinking of very interesting things to say and like one-liners. Is that what happens? You would know. So.
Yeah, he's usually, if he's not engaged in something, he's in the corner in his chair with a book and a blue highlighter just doing this. And you pull books off his shelf and it's all blue highlighters all throughout.
He has such a skill at being able to explain something in a picture or a sentence that you go, okay, now I understand. I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually obscure quotes too.
We're going to do it at the after show in a second here. You guys can meet us at apologiaradio.com to get more with Dr. Merkel. But it felt weird at being honestly in Moscow because I don't really have any problem preaching. I try not to pay attention to who's really there, but it was a little awkward because everything that I was saying was riffing off of something that Doug has taught me. So it's a little bit awkward. He's in there like laughing at what I'm saying. I'm like, that's not really funny to you because I took that from you. So, yeah, anyway, we'll be back, guys. Apologia TV at apologiaradio.com. More with the after show. Be right back. Or I would say meet us there. That's what you do. The conversation is going to continue at apologiaradio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversation, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at apologiaradio.com by becoming all access. Go check it out.